Well, good evening, everybody. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, an alcoholic in recovery, struggling with relationship issues. My name's Brian. It says in the Alcoholics Big Book on page 82, the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted, and selfish and inconsiderate habits have left the home in turmoil. This evening, I can stand up here for the next 25 minutes and tell you all about the madness and the darkness of 47 years of being an alcoholic is really like. Or I could stand up here for the next 25 minutes and tell you now how God not only saved my life repeatedly, but changed my life from the inside out through Celebrate Recovery on the Inside. Well, I think I'm going to tell you a little bit about how the story was and a whole lot about how God saved my life repeatedly when I was off running wild. So to start the testimony, we must set the stage. It all started in Portland, Oregon in 1958, where I grew up in a middle-class home. Dad went to work, Mom stayed home, took care of the house, my sister, and myself. They never got divorced, and we never moved. They were together for 63 years until she passed away from dementia. I grew up always going fishing and hunting and camping on the weekends. Really a normal childhood with its bumps and bruises and getting my butt beat on a regular basis. I'm currently staying with my dad and taking care of the house, the same house I grew up in. My dad's now 99 years old. This happy life continued into my teens, hunting and fishing and camping on the weekends. I was always raised to believe in God. My parents made sure of that. I even went to a church youth group for a while. But I wasn't there for the right reasons. I was there to chase girls, not chase God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, "And if you leave God's path and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you say, 'No, this is the way, walk here.'" Yeah, I didn't listen. I was off running wild. This is when everything kind of went sideways. I found sex, drugs, and rock and roll and a whole lot of alcohol. Drinking became my life. Remember those kegger days when somebody would get a keg and the rest of us would show up and drink all night? One by one, everybody would pass out except me. I was the one still sitting at your kitchen table in the morning drinking when you woke up with a bad hangover. For the next 47 years of my life, it would be storm after storm. The common denominator was always alcohol and the ill effects, in and out of jails and prisons most of my life. It started when I was 18. I spent my first birthday in jail. And it ended when I was 56 years old, sitting in Columbia River Correctional Institution. We'll get to that later. When I was 25, my dad asked me if I wanted to go to work with him. I said, "Yeah, you bet, I'd love to go to work with you." He said, "Calm down, it's only part-time." So that's okay. This is my dream job. I want to be a beer truck driver in downtown Portland. Yep. An alcoholic driving a beer truck. That's like asking a fox to watch the hen house. Well, it wasn't long. I got my first of four DUIs coming home from the bar after work. During most of my life, I was a flaming codependent. I always had to have a girlfriend or one of my three wives, never being alone for any length of time. As I walked away from one woman, I would go straight to the next, leaving behind me a great deep trail of destruction that was filled with physical and emotional damage along with a whole lot of property damage. I had two children, a son and a daughter, both out of wedlock. My son hasn't talked to me since he was 13 years old. He's now in his 30s. One big moment that comes to mind when I was a complete alcoholic madness. The day started with tequila sunrises. The rest of the day is kind of a blur until that night. I drove from Hillsboro to southeast Portland to my ex-wife's house and shot her front door off with a shotgun. And it's just like you see on TV, as I drove away, I was completely surrounded by police, guns drawn, ready to kill me. I sat in my truck and smoked a couple cigarettes and finished my bottle. The whole time the police were yelling at me to get out with my hands up. They were getting a little nervous. I figured I had two ways out of that truck. I could jump into that truck with a gun in my hand and die. Or I could just get out and do what they wanted. I managed to stay alive that night only by the grace of God. During all these years of madness, God was always right there trying to save my life, like the many times he saved my life in car and truck accidents. And every time he threw me in jail, he was trying to save my life. There's even a poem called God's Hotel where he talks about how he puts people in controlled environments to not only sober us up, but to get our attention. And there's usually a Bible close by to catch our attention, but I never listened to his gentle nudges. Every time I use my 911 prayer, "God, get me out of this. I'll never do it again." Till the next time. Well, God heard my prayers, but I never took them seriously. I was just looking for a get-out-of-jail card. With all my alcoholic madness, I just ran straight out of jail or right back to my drug of choice. Psalms chapter 40, verse 12. Problems far too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins too many to count have all caught up with me. I'm ashamed to look up. I even thought I'd leave Oregon and move to Oklahoma, but I took all my hurts, habits, and hang-ups with me. So 8 years later in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma City Police Department drove me to the airport, handed me a one-way ticket back to Portland. During my later years in life, drinking became more than a problem. I ended up being homeless and almost lost my life one night when I was passed out sleeping in my van. A guy broke in, pointed a gun in my face, demanded money and drugs. He beat me with everything he had for about an hour, maybe two. I kind of lost track. He ended up hitting me with a jack handle until I finally closed my eyes and he left me for dead. It took three plastic surgeons 2 hours to put me back together that night. You would think that that would be enough to stop my drinking after God saved my life again. 24 hours after being discharged from the hospital, I was right back drinking. My life was still way out of control. God would give me moments of clarity, but my mind would always run right back to my drug of choice, which is alcohol. Remember, during this part of my life, I was still homeless, planning every day so I wouldn't have enough alcohol so I wouldn't be sick the next day. My dad finally let me park my van in the driveway so I'd be safe. It was during this time in my life when I lost my mother to her 15-year battle of dementia. She went home to heaven. She was finally free from her pain and confusion. I went back drinking 24/7. This is where my life was not only full of the loss of my mother, but all my hurts, habits, and hang-ups were running way out of control. So once again, I went out and got arrested and put into my jail detox program. It was the only way I knew to get three hots and a cot and meds to detox off of alcohol. Not something I'd recommend to anybody. The day I went in front of the judge for sentencing on January 7, 2014, I was looking at 10 years because of the sentencing guidelines of Oregon. I was a real emotional mess. I was going away to prison for a very long time. But God was once again with me in the courtroom. Just minutes before that judge walked out of his chambers, the DA turned around to my attorney and said, 18 months at Columbia River. I said, take it. Once again, I used my 911 prayer when I got to Columbia River. God, get me out of this. I'll never do it again. Till the next time. When I got to Columbia River, I was sitting on my bunk, minding my own business. God heard my prayers and sent two people to guide me in my recovery. I had no idea that my life was going to change. First guy came up and said, hey, I'm going to an AA meeting. You want to go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. I sat in the back of the room with my head down. Don't call on me. I'm just here. Well, it didn't take long. I was showing up early to put the chairs up. I was staying late to put the chairs away. I had a meeting before the meeting, a meeting during the meeting, and a meeting after the meeting. And I was secretary of the Thursday meeting the whole time inside. The second guy came up and goes, hey, I'm going to a Celebrate Recovery meeting. You want to go? I said, what's that? He goes, I don't know. I had no idea what Celebrate Recovery was. It wasn't anything I even wanted to do. I just wanted to get off my bunk. So I found out as I wandered into this meeting on a Friday night inside Columbia River Correctional Institution that it was not a regular CR meeting. It was a step study meeting. And the volunteer explained to me that this was a step study meeting, and he wanted me to commit to coming to all 30 weeks of classes. Now, let's be honest. Commitment's never been one of my strong suits. But I signed on the bottom line, and I won't mention any names, but Chris handed me this exact green and yellow workbook. Told me to read the first chapter and do the questions, and I'll see you next week. And my answer was, yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure about this God stuff. As I looked through the book, I found out that it had the same 12 steps as AA, but it was easier to understand and apply to my own life. This is when God started to work. He finally had my attention. I also found out about another CR meeting inside prison on Tuesday nights. And it was a regular meeting with worship and either teaching or testimony. The worship reminded me how much I love to sing. Before I knew it, I was going to 5 meetings a week on the inside. First couple of step study meetings, I noticed that the volunteers were always happy. They had something that I wanted, but I couldn't put my finger on it. But once again, I won't mention any names, Chris. So as I worked through the next couple of chapters in the book, God was already working in my life. He was using each lesson in that book to open up my eyes. Lesson 5, which is turn, is where I surrendered. I started with the third step prayer in my AA book. I used the principle 3 prayer in my step study guide. When I got to lesson 9 and started my 4-step inventory, God started to open my eyes to all the pain I caused to others in all my madness. It took me a couple of weeks to finish that inventory. It was as long as my arm. Well, then it's on to the 5th step. Now, let's be honest. I'm in jail. I'm writing all this stuff down, and I'm trying to keep it secret. Now you want me to tell somebody, confess to God and myself and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs? No, I don't think so. But then it dawned on me, there's one person in that prison that I could trust, and it was Chaplain Holbrook. The day of our appointment, I made sure I had a rag in my pocket because I knew Kleenex wasn't going to be enough. When I went into his office, Chaplain Holbrook said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Well, I'm here to confess to God and myself and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs." He goes, "Oh yeah, have a seat." When I was done, about an hour later, I was physically felt God lift all the burdens and the guilt and the shame off my shoulders. It was the strangest feeling I've ever felt. Right after that, the chaplain asked me, "Mr. Marty, have you ever had a relationship with anybody in your life where alcohol was not involved?" I had to answer honestly, no. I started drinking when I was 10 years old. Next step study meeting I went to, I told Chris that I shared my testimony with the chaplain. That's when he handed me my first Celebrate Recovery Bible. It was the first time I heard the word God in my life where it actually meant something. Every time I finished with a lesson in that book, my life began to change. Little things at first. I started praying each morning and each evening like it suggested in the book. And it all started to work. People aren't supposed to be happy in prison, but I sure was. Next few days after confessing, though, I felt kind of strange. It was that warm, fuzzy feeling I used to get from alcohol. I couldn't figure out what it was. Then it dawned on me. It was God warming my heart from the inside out. It wasn't long before my smile never left my face. My life took a full 360-degree turn. That's right, God spun me all the way around. My old life was over. God removed all my cravings of 47 years of being an alcoholic because I finally surrendered and confessed. That simple act of confessing and surrendering changed everything in my life forever. God had other plans for me when I first got into Columbia River. I just tried to do the same old thing. Boy, was I wrong. I learned to be really careful what you pray for if you're not ready for a new life in Christ, amen? During our Tuesday night CR meeting after I finished my step study, the volunteer told me it was time to write my testimony. It says in the Alcoholics Big Book on page 84, God was doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. I didn't quite know what to write or why anybody would want to hear a story of an old drunk. So it took me a little bit to get it done. And then Paul said, "Hey, I want you to share it in front of all the guys before you leave in October." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, that's the next step in your healing." Okay. So in October of 2014, before I got out of Columbia River Correctional Institution, I shared my testimony for the first time in front of all the guys at our CR meeting. Yeah, we all dressed the same and we all had to be there, but that was still one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I'm the guy in the back of the bus, never the guy in front of the bus. But God was right there with me the whole time. I ended up only doing 10 months out of the 18 months that I was sentenced. Before I got out, I was handed a list of all the CRs in Oregon. I found one that was close to where I was going to live in Portland, as is, on Monday nights. I continued to do on the outside what I learned to do on the inside. Meetings, as many as I can fit into my schedule. Riding the bus and my bicycle for the next year and a half, wherever I needed to go. I do AA meetings during the day and CR meetings at night. I went to my first CR meeting the night I got out of prison. As I walked through the door, the greeter met me and said, "Hey, we're glad you're here." And as he walked and talked, he started to introduce me around. I told him I'd already been through a step study and already written my testimony. And his response was, "Great, We're always looking for testimonies. My response is, wait a minute, I just came out of prison. The next 3 months out of prison, I shared my testimony 3 different times, as is, right here in Rolling Hills, in Mount Olivet in North Portland. The night I was at As Is sharing my testimony, the guy said, hey, can we film your testimony? I said, why? He said, well, that way we can use a video testimony in case somebody cancels on us. And I said, okay. He said, I'll make a copy and put it on the thumb drive for you. And I said, what's that? He goes, never mind, I got one. And then it dawned on me, I couldn't go back into the prisons, but I could make copies and put them on DVDs and send them back in. And that's exactly what I did. I'm still broken, but today I've got a new Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to help put the pieces back together. Amen. Once I became open and honest with myself and others, life is so much easier. I still start each day with prayer and meditation along with my morning devotional. The rest of the day just seems to flow. I have a sponsor, and I am a sponsor, accountability partners, and real friends that are brothers in Christ. Every day I wake up, my eyes open up, I take a breath, my feet hit the floor, my name's not in the paper, it's a good day. I can go on and on about all the great relationships I have. From my personal relationship with God to my forever faith family and my forever family, and a renewed relationship with my family who'd all but given up on me. In 2016, I was able to attend my first CR summit while still on parole. God cleared the way with my PO, so I got my papers to leave the state. And some of the greatest people in the world God brought into my life to guide me in my new walk with the Lord. In 2017, wow, that was a great year. On January 16th of 2017, I got off parole 2 years early. And I got to go salmon fishing for the first time in 30 years because of the friendship and fellowship and brothers in Christ through Celebrate Recovery. I'm even making new memories with my dad. 3 weeks later in 2017, God opened the doors to 3 state prisons. I was walking in person to share my testimony, something the DOC said wasn't supposed to happen for 5 years. So you tell me who's in charge of my life. It ain't me. I'm just along for the ride. In 2018, God opened another door. I was badged to go into Sheridan Federal Penitentiary and take Celebrate Recovery on the inside. Unfortunately, that only happened for a short time because of COVID, and it never opened back up. In 2019, I was asked to be a CRI state rep for Oregon. On December 24th of 2019, I was prayed in as a ministry leader for Columbia River Correctional Institution. So where I once was a prisoner, I have a badge. I go back into that prison every Monday night and continue to do what the volunteers started. By continually surrendering and trusting God, my entire life is changing. I've been learning how to communicate, and I even have emotions, in case you haven't noticed. It hasn't always been easy, though. I've had to work really hard not to take things back once I've handed them over to God. Something about a control issue. I see another step study coming. But I continue to work the steps and practice these principles in this program and pray every day. I'm amazed and blessed as God's plan unfolds in my life. My life is not all wine and roses. It's iced tea, Mountain Dew, and daffodils. And a whole lot of coffee. Nowadays, I'm the ministry leader for Celebrate Recovery at the Harbor, which is a men's residential treatment center for the Portland Rescue Mission. The best place to be on a Sunday night. Every Monday night, I go right back into prison, which is a great place to be on a Monday night. Currently part of the great leadership team at Real Life Foursquare, the best place to be on a Tuesday night over in Vancouver. I'm also part of the team at Southeast Christian Center, best place to be on a Thursday night. Besides here, since you guys changed the Thursday nights. I continue to do service work from greeting you at the door to making coffee, cleaning up, leading men's small groups for addictions, leading and co-leading several step studies. Being a part of the Crossroads Faith family is a great way to spend my Sundays, serving in church whenever asked. To the newcomer, if you can be open and honest and get involved, if you're not serving, you're swerving, you will see and feel God change your life. Give this program an honest chance to work. You keep coming to these meetings for 90 days. If you're not completely satisfied after 90 days, I will gladly refund your misery. In the beginning of my testimony, I said that my son hadn't talked to me since he was 13 years old. Well, I'm here to tell you, God restores what the locust took away. 27 years later, he walked into one of my dad's birthday parties. So along with him and back in my life, I have his wife and my two beautiful grandsons. He's also restored a relationship with my daughter, who lives in Florida. She popped in on a testimony I was giving a couple weeks ago at Connection Church. That was a tough day. There's five things I'd like you to remember tonight. Trust in God's timing. Rely on his promises. Wait for his answers. Rejoice in his goodness. Phew, and relax in his presence. Wouldn't be CR without an acrostic. Tonight's acrostic is grace. In closing, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. We are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within us. Thank you.